been a week. Tell me, how is everything? Did you remember to sleep? What a surprise. Let's talk and let's laugh, cause I got so much to tell you. So let's go kick some arse.
Kia ora and welcome to Kick Arts with Emma and Stephen, proudly brought to you this January thanks to Shoreside Theatre's Shakespeare in the Park. Kick Arts is Aotearoa's comprehensive art show, brought to you on Planet FM 104.6 and streaming live. Emma is determined to make me laugh tonight. If you've seen the bloopers that have gone out tonight, it's Emma. What are you doing?
My earphones aren't working. They're cutting in and out, and it's annoying me.
We haven't even started, and she's destroying the place. Anyway, you can download our podcast from planetaudio.org.nz or listen on Spotify. Tonight, back live for 2025, definitely live with that intro. We are chatting with Nigel from the Auckland Folk Festival. Joe and Nino are in to talk about their show, The Man Whose Mother Was a Pirate. And Mia joins us from Australia to let us know all about Kippa. But first, to kick off the show, a young man from Takapuna with one of his first tracks to release. It's Nathan Fry with Beginning of Freedom.
Our ride begins.
Scott. That's his first track. Nathan's got a definite career of music ahead of him.
Definitely. That was great.
Welcome. Happy New Year, Emma.
I know. It's crazy that we're already the 5th of the 1st. It only feels like yesterday we were doing our last show of the year.
I know. We've blinked. We get a couple of Sundays and that's it. We're back. Yeah, but
I know.
You've already caused mischief and made me giggle, you know, only 6 minutes into the show.
I know. That was quite funny because, you know, you were giggling earlier and you were like, no, I'll be fine today. And all I was doing was sitting here trying to plug myself in and would you let me know? You let everyone know that I was having issues.
Look, we're going to catch up about your break and the year ahead, but we've got our first guests already on the line joining us from what sounds like a bit of a wet day in Wellington, and that's a big welcome to Nino and Joe from The Man Whose Mother Was a Pirate. Welcome, team.
Kia ora.
Happy New Year.
Happy New Year. Great to have you both on the show.
And you know what's really exciting?
What?
I think this is the first time in our new studio, so just almost a year now, that we've had two people on two different phone numbers and it's actually worked.
And it's worked, yeah. Shush, don't jinx it, Emma. Don't jinx it. So, Joe, tell us, what is The Man Whose Mother Was a Pirate all about?
Crikey. It's a national treasure of a book by an absolutely brilliant author, Margaret Mahe. It's one that I grew up with. I grew up with so many of her books. She came to my primary school. You know, this when Nino asked if I would be part of this project, it was a no-brainer. It was just, you know, how could you pass up a new musical of a Margaret Mahe story? You know, the story of a mother who had changed her life when she realised she was having a child and did the right thing as a mother and then goes, hang on, okay, I need to get back to the things that I really, really love. And in the process, her son learns quite a few things along the way.
Oh, that's cool. And you play the mum?
I am.
And what's it been like stepping into her shoes?
So we've had our a read-through all together and met the cast and the musicians and the team. And so far we've actually been learning everything remotely while we've all been on our Christmas holiday. So we actually get together this coming Saturday for the beginning of the rehearsals. So that's going to be the exciting reveal of what it's all going to look like.
Oh, that's cool. All right, Nino, we'll bring you in here. What's your involvement in this mischief?
Well, I am the originator of this project here as I sort of hate the list that I've got here, but I'm the writer, the script writer, composer and lyricist, and I guess project lead, along with James LaDagne, who's my creative producer, who first started working with me on this project. For the Fringe Festival last year, 2024 Fringe Festival. And I've been writing it over like the last two or so years in different stages of intensity, essentially, yeah.
And is this the first time that this has been performed or has it been performed elsewhere in Aotearoa?
It was originally performed in a smaller version of it in the Welsh Dragon Pub. I don't know if you are familiar with this venue. I think it's the only Welsh pub in the Southern Hemisphere. But it has a huge tradition of sea shanties, and I went along to a couple of sessions. I thought, this is a really special place, and all the cogs were turning at once and trying to make a musical that is sort of a bit of an anti-musical and that it involves a huge amount of participation, and there's nothing that really brings people together than sea shanties. They're simple, they're very melodic, they're fun, they have huge amounts of story and verses to them. So I thought this would be a perfect venue, and it started as just essentially a soft performance, open and read through. We had four wonderful actors and myself at the piano, with actors with scripts in hand, and we're just sort of testing it out, seeing is this something that audiences will enjoy when they're in close proximity with each other, they're having a pint They are singing along, they learn the songs immediately, and they get gripped by a story that they're actually very much a part of. So that was our first iteration, but this one is a much more fleshed out story. We've added more characters, but more material, more songs, to create a more full-length show, essentially.
Cool, that's fantastic. And so kids that have read the book are going to recognise this when they come along? Are they going to be sitting there going, oh, I remember that from the book?
Oh, 100%. They'll see all the same characters, plus more. They will, hopefully, if they know the book, like, word for word, they will recognise a couple of lines, as Margaret Mahe's beautiful sense of rule of three, alliteration, sort of painting the world with the text. Should you not have Margaret Chamberlain's illustrations for one of those books, you get a full sense of what's going on. So I took a huge amount of inspiration from Margaret's writing to enhance good lyrics to sing along to.
That's brilliant. And Joe, what is it about Margaret Mahe that you think sort of has stood the test of time so well?
I think that, so many of her stories, she doesn't treat people as ignorant and needs to spell everything out. She, she builds on the human relationship and that whole idea of growing up. In this story, it's all the characters really that are growing up, but particularly the mother and her son, and Mr. Fat, as it turns out. There's so much truth and heart, and you can really get that sense of a belonging in her stories.
So, Nino, tell us, if we were to put a little kick arts camera in the foyer at the end of one of your performances, what would you be hoping audience members were saying as they left?
I think they'd be saying, I want to call my mum immediately and tell them that I love them. I want them to say, I never thought I'd sing with a bunch of strangers in my life, but we sounded very good. And I had fun, and that's for kids as well. I want the kids to say, like, I want to be a pirate, or an accountant, whatever really excites them. I want them to feel like it was fun and that they can feel connected to characters who have done a very brave thing to go into the unknown, which is what I guess personifies what it's like to go out to sea. It's just like life, not really knowing where you're going sometimes.
Fun. Now tell me, this is a curly one, because we always like to give curly questions. But, you know, in this day and age when it's so important to consider accessibility to the arts, what's something in the show or something that you are doing maybe to ensure that it's accessible to all? I know that you're advertising it's for 8 to up to any age at all, which I love that. So that means we can bring Nana and Granddad along. But what about anyone else?
Who was it?
How to best answer that question in the full spectrum of it?
Go for it.
Well, on one side, it is fully accessible. The venue, we have elevators that take everyone up, so anyone with a disability and needing wheelchairs or walkers, it's very possible for them. And this is something Joe and I have connected on a fair bit, is we come from community music backgrounds, and my mother's a music therapist, and often we use music as a way to connect to people.
Beautiful.
People who struggle to connect, who don't have the vocabulary, who struggle to speak, but music is the act, the bridge that actually brings all people together. And I guess coming back to my sort of statement, is it's sort of an anti-musical that requires participation. That's what really brings people together, in my opinion, and the sort of work that I like doing and want to do more of. It's music that engages people and gets people out of their heads, out of their, oh, I can't sing or I can't do all these fun things. you feel a part of a community when you're singing, and that's not really something we have very accessible to us all the time in a Western culture. We have church, and that's usually it. But I want to create spaces where, for all people, everyone can sing, and Joe will agree, it's very true. Everyone can sing, and that's what I sort of want people to have the connection to, and that's what I believe will make it fully accessible.
Beautiful.
Everyone can participate and feel like they've participated.
So tell us, Nino, you've said your mother was about music therapy. Where did your journey through music or performing arts begin? How did, take us back, how did it all start?
That's quite a long one, because my father's also a community leader and music, a choir leader, and Joe has known me since I was about 10 years old when I first came to New Zealand. And I was always interested in performance as a multi-instrumentalist, loved to perform, loved to be loud, loved to be silly. I think I became an actor because of watching The Muppets and The Simpsons and doing impressions. I knew how to parrot things and sing along. And so for me, my journey has actually always been a tricky one, because I never knew what it was I wanted to do, be it to be an actor or to be a director for music or for opera or to conduct or to write a musical. I started writing this musical because I saw Matilda in London with my partner, and I was blown away by seeing children on stage, by seeing children in the audience going cuckoo bananas at what was happening. They were just so alive and excited to see a show like this. And then the parents were immensely excited to see their children enjoying something so much. And I thought, I want to help create that, but in a New Zealand context. I want to write the next best New Zealand musical. So I started the show as a challenge to myself, and I've learned more about myself as an artist and about the story whilst writing it. So I guess it's an ongoing relationship with the arts, with music, as a just recently turned 30-year-old trying to figure out what it is I want to do. And I'm no closer in deciding. I want to do a bit of everything. And I guess Joe can probably sympathize. We're not one trick ponies. We use so much with our art, with our music, with our singing voices, and everything interests us.
Fantastic. Well, Joe, we're going to ask you the same question. I know most of the answer, but I'm going to pretend I don't. So, Joe, take us back. Where did it all begin for you?
So, from a very musical and theatrical creative family, it was just always around. And then through the national choirs, I got the opportunity to build my choral skill that then led to musical theatre, to opera. I became a preschool music teacher, which I absolutely adore, and hence, you know, children's books are a fave. So, you know, being involved in a musical of a children's book is just, you know, completely my world. I'm a local teacher here in Wellington, singing teacher. As Nino said, I've known him since he was 10, and was involved in community world music retreats with his family way back when. I'm a choral director, I'm a musical director, I'm a performer, I'm a teacher. Definitely not a one-trick pony, as Nino referred to. I seem to be often a mother in shows. It seems to be a combination of crones or mothers. So Pirate Mother is the next iteration of that, which is just, I'm so excited.
That is so cool. What's in the lineup coming up for you guys next? So once this one sort of packs up, what's 2025 looking like for you both? Nino?
Oh, gosh. Well, it's not a very well-kept secret, but my partner and I are looking to travel to Manchester for a little bit. This might go into a much bigger topic, but as you very well know, the arts is always a suffering form when it comes to funding, when it comes to resources. especially in, I think, in Wellington, but probably all around New Zealand, artists have to, like we said, not be a one-trick pony. You have to do a huge amount of lots of different things to be able to just put on your shows. And I've been wanting to move overseas to be able to see more, to work with more people. I'm really interested in opera direction, and there's only so many operas a year that you can ever see or get to work on as a young director. So my partner's very keen to travel as well. So we're looking for an excursion to Europe for a couple of months, and then we're intending to come back to bring The Man Whose Mother Was a Pirate, the musical, to a bigger stage, hopefully with some funding as well, because this current project is a totally self-funded by me currently. So we want to see what it'll be like this time next year with all the bells and whistles, and then taking over the world. So it's more of the unknown going into it.
Brilliant. Okay, good answer. I love that you preface that in case, you know, there's people listening that didn't know you were leaving. Joe, what about you this year?
So as I said, I do some musical directing and all my teaching, so that'll be kicking off again in February. I will be involved in a production of Adam's Family. I'm not really sure exactly what else is happening as the year progresses, but I have a habit of saying yes to things and then going, okay, how am I going to do that? So something will come up, but essentially mostly teaching and... Yeah, I work with children in choirs as well as a barbershop chorus of adult women, and my own private teaching and group teaching as well. So it's going to be a busy year, whatever else appears on the horizon.
That's fantastic. All right, Nino, give us all the details. Where can people go to get tickets and all that important stuff?
Well, if you Google The Man Whose Mother Was a Pirate, the musical, you will most likely find a link to Eventbrite, or otherwise go to eventbrite.co.nz and you can book tickets to come see the musical. The dates are the 23rd to the 25th of January, so it's very soon, and tickets range from $30 for adults to $15 from ages 8 and 17 plus. And so only 4 shows, and we sold out our original show, and looks like tickets are doing quite well, so we want to make sure as many young people as well as adults and granny and granddad can come see this show. And it's the location is 257, which is at 57 Willow Street, directly upstairs from Unity Books. Quite appropriate to be above a bookstore for a Margaret Mahe musical.
Absolutely.
Definitely. And all that information is also on our website at kickarts.org.nz on our event page.
Fantastic. Well, thank you, Nino and Joe, for joining us on Sunday night. Good luck with the rehearsals. Have fun coming together to bring this magic to life.
Thank you so much.
Really appreciate being on your show.
No worries.
Ka kite. Well, tonight we're going to be playing some of the music from the Play It Strange Year 9 to 11 songwriting competition from last year. They've just released all the tracks. This first track is called Enough Time. It's from Mila Nicholson. Enjoy.
Another long loss for air, another missing pair.
With Mila Nicholson with Enough Time as part of the Play It Strange Festival sponsored by Youth Town. We'll play a few more throughout the evening. So, Emma, did you have a bit of a break over the last couple of weeks?
Yeah, I did actually. Totally different for me. We decided to have, I think I mentioned this in the last show, that we'd decided to have Christmas with my eldest son in Christchurch, but that also included 3 days in Queenstown before Christmas and then 3 days in Christchurch for Christmas, then picking up a camper van and having 4 days to get it back to Auckland. And we actually went via Takaka to see my auntie and Joe, who we just interviewed, who happened to be my cousin, and my other cousin, Anthony, who's been on the show before because he does the al fresco movies outdoors in Nelson. So it was a lot of driving, but it was really cool to kind of be sitting in that, like for my husband who hasn't been kind of, not that we went fully West Coast because we went through Murchison, but, you know, he'd never been to Takaka, has only been in Nelson kind of one day 20-odd years ago. So it was really cool to drive that and just see a little bit of Aotearoa. And we generally had really good weather on driving days, which was good.
Nice. That was a decent break. What was it like with the whole camper van? Because I've heard of people doing this before. Because you're basically, someone's driven it down on holiday and then your job is to get it back to the depot.
Yeah, so we went through a company called Transfer Car, and literally you just look them up online and they have a whole lot of vehicles and it says where they need them picked up and where they need them taken to and how many days you get. So this particular camper van, it was 4 days for $1 a day. So we paid $4. Mm. It included our ferry for the van and for the driver. And then we had to pay $75 for me as a passenger. So that makes $79 so far. And then petrol and road user charges. So the road user charges, because we did something like nearly 1,500 kilometres.
Right.
So that came out to about $105. Mm-hmm. And then I think it was $200 in petrol we spent. So all up, we worked out, what's that? That's $300, about just under $400. But airfares to Christchurch were $330 each for one way.
Mm. Let alone accommodation and everything else, plus the beautiful sights that you saw.
Yeah. So we've said we'll definitely do it again. Mm. Next time, though, we might, like, pick it up from Queenstown. My husband's never been to Invercargill, so we might go down. I would love to go down through the Milford Sound and stuff and maybe go down that way and then come back up via Christchurch and have a few more days.
That's cool. That's cool.
Mm. And what about you? Did you have any time off or are you waiting?
A little bit of both. So I did some working through and the day job worked through, but it was a bit of a funny one because you have your one day on, 2 days off, one day on, 2 days on, one day off. It was the bizarrest couple of weeks, but it was kind of good. It meant that you got plenty of sunshine. Auckland actually turned on the sun, bit of wind, but it hasn't been too bad. So a lot of chill time, a lot of downtime in the gaps, which was really good. Heading away to Melbourne this weekend to catch some shows. So I'm looking forward to sort of finishing the holiday off with a bit of a show dose.
That's nice. Very nice, yes.
Now, I did track some new music down, though, that I like. Not actually Kiwi, but really different. Have you heard of a guy called Peter Alias?
No.
It's Peter, P-E-D-E-R, from Switzerland, I believe. And he's taken well-known nursery rhymes and tunes, but then well and truly modernised them. This one is called Row Your Boat. Have a listen to this.
Row, row, row your boat far away from me, 'cause I don't want anything to do with you, your friends or your family. Row, row, row your boat, row and don't look back, 'cause honestly I've had enough of you playing my heart. I'm done with that. Don't know what to say, but I'm fed up by all my emotions. You got me caught in your ocean. I'm trying hard not to drown. Your love is a magnet, and you know you got superpowers. Every minute, every hour, you got me under your spell. But I can't stand your games no more. So, row, row, row your boat far away from me, 'cause I don't want anything to do with you, your friends or your family. Row, row, row your boat, row and don't look back, 'cause honestly I've had enough of you playing my heart. I'm done with that. I'm done with that. I'm done with that. How could someone so damn beautiful enjoy being damn hurtful? We'd be flying high like a butterfly, then you pull me down, ain't no reason why. I'll give you my all like a normal guy. Oh girl, you should try. Felt like a summer vibe, but you're as cold as ice. Need you to know by now, can't face that. Oh, so row, row, row your boat far away from me, 'cause I don't want anything to do with you, your friends or your family. I'm done with that.
Isn't that a good track? Peter Alias, and I'll play his Twinkle Twinkle Little Star a little later too. Quite cool, but a little bit of history. He's a Norwegian singer-songwriter. Only debuted his music in 2018 and in 2022 won the Genie Music Awards as Best Pop Artist. But he uses sort of well-known stories, fairy tales, music, and then turns them into really cool pop songs. It was one of those ones, you know, where you just let Apple or Spotify just play a random playlist. You like the Kiwi Hatchlings, you know, and you suddenly start hearing some good music. So I did a lot of that in the holidays, just letting music play without me picking it.
Nice. I think that's a really good way to do it. Hey, we've got some bulletins in our inbox.
Brilliant. Let's take a listen. What's coming up?
So the Queen of Ireland, Panty Bliss, to light up Auckland's pride. Notorious drag artist and accidental activist Panty Bliss, affectionately known as the Queen of Ireland, is bringing her powerhouse presence to Aotearoa during Auckland's Pride 2025. Presented by Auckland Live, a division of Te Tāke Auckland Limited, Panty's latest show, If These Wigs Could Talk, will take over the Winter Garden at the Civic from Wednesday the 19th to the 23rd of February for an unmissable evening of laughter, glamour and life stories from the heart of drag royalty. Oh, that sounds very exciting. In fact, Graham Norton said, no one is making shows like this. I loved it. Oh, that's a high praise from Graham Norton, isn't it? So, produced by This Is Pop Baby, one of Ireland's leading theatre companies, directed by Philip McCowan. Oh, my goodness. With the support of Culture Ireland, If These Wigs Could Talk promises to be an unforgettable night. So that is the 19th to the 23rd of February at the Winter Garden, $35 to $69, 70 minutes no interval, recommended for 14 plus. So jump on over, either search up Panty Bliss, If These Wigs Could Talk, or check out AucklandLive.co.nz.
Better be careful Googling that at your work email, work account. Now, the Wanaka Festival of Colour is running from the 29th of March to the 6th of April, and it's thrilled to announce the first three performances in the much-anticipated 2025 programme, Animal, An Evening Without Kate Bush, and Reimagining Mozart. The full festival lineup will be announced later in January. Now, An Evening Without Kate Bush is an utterly hilarious, beautifully constructed and clever show and has wowed audiences around the world. The brainchild of Sarah Louise Young and Russell Lucas, this award-winning cult cabaret pays glorious tribute to the music, fans and mythology of one of the most influential voices in pop music. Now, second one, celebrated for their high-flying antics and infectious energy, Cirque Alphonse from Quebec spins childhood memories and rural clichés into Animal, a surreal intergenerational circus adventure set to an infectious live soundtrack of agricultural funk. Now, that was a good sentence to get out. A production for young and old alike, performers flip farm life on its head and the barn upside down. The chickens sprout teeth, the ducks give side eye and the cows kick up more than just dirt. Expect jaw-dropping acrobatics, daring juggling, everything from eggs to giant cowbells, tap dancing, absurd humour and even a tractor doing some wheelies. And finally, the Wanaka Festival of Colour is partnering with the Chamber Music New Zealand to present Reimagining Mozart. In the beautiful work, Robert Wiremu commemorates the tragedy of Air New Zealand Flight TE-901 by reimagining Wolfgang Amadeus Mozart's Requiem, which was left unfinished at the time of his death in 1791. Reimagining Mozart features the internationally acclaimed Voices New Zealand Chamber Choir and a chamber ensemble of instrumentalists under the direction of Voices founder and musical director Dr. Karen Grice. Festivalofcolour.co.nz is where you need to head for all the details. It's not on until March, but you want to grab tickets now to those three fabulous headline events. I think we need to go to Wanaka, Emma. I'm sure a live kick-art show from down there is needed.
I think that would be great. Now, Oleana by David Mamet comes to the Pump House Theatre in March. So Brown and Mayer Productions are thrilled to present David Mamet's intense and thought-provoking play, Oleana, from March the 10th to the 15th. These are a wee way away, but again, be planning yourself. This powerful two-character drama explores themes of power, communication and manipulation. Although first performed in 1992, the play has great relevance today than before, resonating deeply with contemporary issues such as the Me Too movement and cancel culture and gender power imbalances. It stars Stephen Butterworth and Amy Cotter and is directed by Nick Brown. So for more information, I suppose keep an eye out for Pump House at pumphouse.co.nz on what's on.
Auckland Theatre Company is proudly announcing the world premiere of A Mixtape for Miladies, an evocative new work where it begins in a small coastal Sri Lankan village. A Mixtape for Miladies follows Sangreetha, a young woman who treasures music as a way to connect with her family. Her crush on a local shopkeeper is cut short as the country falls into civil war, forever altering her path. Now residing in Aotearoa with her son Deepan, Sangreetha's old mixtape is all that remains of her former life. As Deepin plays each song, he unearths his family's bittersweet story, illuminating the weight of history and a new understanding of identity. Head to atc.co.nz for all the details on that one. It's opening 4th of March, right through the whole month, at the ASB Waterfront Theatre. Now, if you've got something for us to share or to post on our wonderful website, email us info@kickarts.org.nz. We've also got some slots coming up, Emma. People can come on, chat to us. We want to fill up our schedule.
Definitely. Let's get us full for the rest of January, because usually it's February that takes off for us, of course, be with the Fringe Festival and different things happening. So get in now. Maybe it's not because you've got a production starting next week, but you might be working on a project or have something in mind or have a boosted going on, but get in touch.
Absolutely. All right, time now to take a listen to another track from the Play It Strange Festival. This one is called Slow Down, and it's by Rezula Sawad. I hope I pronounced that right.
Rezula? Yep.
Excellent. Take a listen.
Somebody's at the door. Knock, 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 knock. Let's play our game. Your love is real on the floor. Keep shouting on, there's no telling if your heart or not. Who's that? Who's that? Just hit me when I go loud.
That is called Slow Down. And Emma, you know this person.
Yeah, she's actually one of my singing students at Ormiston Junior College. So
awesome.
I was kind of new as she was building that song. So it was their project classes was songwriting. So, you know, she's lyrics and then working out. And then she entered in the competition, which got her the time in the studio to build it up. And
Great track, though, too. Like, real, like, depth to the music. That does not sound like someone who is in year 9 to 11.
Yeah, so she's in year 10. She's just finished Ormiston Junior and is going to Ormiston Senior next year.
Some great, great young artists at the moment, eh?
Yeah.
Really taking the stage. Awesome. Well done to the Play It Strange Festival for finding and giving these people an outlet as well. Now from Play It Strange over to the Auckland Folk Festival 2025. Man, it feels like only yesterday we talked about last year's. It's rolled round fast. And we have the fabulous president of the Auckland Folk Festival Society, Nigel, on the line. Welcome to Kick Arts, Nigel.
Thank you very much for having me on the program.
It's
good to speak to you.
Great to speak to you, and great that this event is going, you know, bigger and better every year. I love the headline that you've added Australia's CW Stone King to its stacked 2025 festival lineup, alongside the announcement of its huge kids program curated by Susie Cato, plus a dance schedule. It's all happening.
Oh yeah, it's all happening. It absolutely is. So, yeah, we're on that Auckland Folk Festival is on the anniversary weekend again, so 24th to the 27th of January, out at the Kimu Showgrounds in the fabulous Kaipara Valley. And as you say, we've got this most amazing lineup from C.W. Stone King to Adam McGrath to Basant Madur, who's the most amazing tabla player. We've got Claudia Robin Gunn, who's the most amazing songwriter of children's songs. We've got some fantastic Aussies over from over the Tasman, and we've got the usual camping, great food trucks. We've got an amazing dance program that's going to. We're trying to bring the dance program out into the community this year. So there'll be some open air sort of pop up dances all over the place of different genres, it's just going to be the most amazing weekend. I'm so excited. We've got some flax weaving and some pottery as well, and just something for everyone, really.
And hopefully no rain.
Well, we won't talk about 2023, the Auckland Flood Festival. That was just awful for us. It was very traumatizing, but we had a good recovery last year. And so we're back on track, and we're very, very happy to be putting on the 25 event once again.
So tell us a little bit about how, for example, these groups get involved with the folk festival. Is it a case of them contacting you to say, hey, we want to come and be an Auckland Folk Festival, or do you go out and shoulder tap people?
It's both. So, you know, we might, as you probably know, there's an enormous number of genres of folk music. It's a very broad umbrella. So, and we like to keep it broad and keep it live and keep it modern, as well as keeping to the traditions. And so we have a tab on our website where artists can apply to be at the festival. And then we will also, amongst our group of fabulous volunteers who run the society, also have connections mostly across the Tasman in Australia, but some through Ireland and Scotland and the United States. So we put our feelers out and we hear who's coming down, because we often get the Northern Hemisphere festival season kind of shuts down in the winter, so a lot of the Northern Hemisphere artists come down to do a tour in Australia. They usually start at about now in Brisbane, and then work through a series of festivals, and we're trying to set up a kind of loop with us across here in Aotearoa as well. So so there's a number of ways of getting into the festival.
Fantastic. And are you a musician yourself? I know you're the president of the Folk Association, but do you play?
Yes, I am. In fact, I've just finished playing a set of Irish jigs. I'm actually at a summer school, a pan-Celtic summer school in Mangaturoto this week, called the Gaeltacht, which is an Irish and Scots word, Gaelic word for the people and the land as an immutable twosome, if you like. I've just finished playing in a band for some dancing, which is always fantastic. But I also play a number of other instruments, and I'm actually playing. My band has been asked to play in the festival, so we have a large kind of fusion band with bagpipes and brass and drums, bass, keyboards, and all sorts of funky stuff. So we put pipe tunes out there with South African rhythms, or you know, a bit of reggae or whatever, and play some reggae tunes as well. So it's all good.
Well, that segues nicely into my next question, because I was going to ask you, how over the years have you seen sort of the folk music scene change? Because we've noticed on this show over the years of, you know, different guests coming on, it used to be very clear that I am in a folk music group, etc., and we'd play their music and we'd agree.
Yep.
And then now we're like, there's like, what was the word we've had? Like indie folk and some interesting fusion words. Yep. And we're like, oh, this is quite a different vibe. Yep.
Absolutely. There's pop folk, there's indie folk, there's Celtic rock, there's bluegrass, there's all sorts of things under the broad umbrella. I mean, my definition of folk music is the music that tells the stories of communities in its best sense. I mean, I think that for me embodies what folk music is. And so there are very many different communities who have a great number of traditions of storytelling through song and poetry. And so it's become a pretty broad church. And so we've got indie folk, some fabulous indie folk people playing. We've got some folk pop people playing. We've got, as I say, we've got tabla, which is, the folk music and drumming of India. We've got the blues, bluegrass. You know, it's wherever the community has evolved. And take Appalachian music, for instance. So bluegrass in Appalachian is the second cousin of Celtic music, because the people that moved and settled in Appalachia and eastern Canada came from Scotland and Ireland, and so they took their music with them. So you can trace the sort of the story and the history and the travels of people through their music, and that's what makes it absolutely wonderful.
And do you find, like at the Folk Festival, for instance, is the demographic of people that come to the festival changing, or is it, you know, is it aging like many of our art forms are, or is this young ones coming through?
We have, I've been president for 10 years now, and it's been one of our key strategies to keep the culture living. In other words, moving forward and reflecting what society does, because that's what cultures are and that's what they should do. Cultures are people. And so we have absolutely fostered the development of the modern genres of folk music and expressively gone out to bring in younger people. We've got a fantastic kids program going on, as you mentioned, led by Susie Cato. I have to say, my daughters, who are all in their 30s, remember Susie when they were little, so they were very excited that Susie's coming along. Just to go back to what I was saying before, we've expressly kept the thing moving forward and building it, while not throwing out the trad, because the trad's very important. The traditional folk is very important to lots of people. And that's where the roots come from. So it's important to keep the roots, but also give some thought and some nutrient to the shoots as well, so it keeps on moving on.
Brilliant. And when did you sort of first get into the scene yourself?
I'm lucky to have always been musical, and I'm from, I don't know if you've heard, but I'm from Scotland. So I came to New Zealand a long time ago, but I was born and bred in Edinburgh, came out here in my mid-20s. And I'd kind of stopped playing music for a while because I was really busy studying, and got back into it through the summer school that we're at now. So I only started playing this kind of music when I was about 35, and I'm 30 years older than that now. So I regret that gap in music, but really love playing the Celtic stuff, and we play Breton music, we play a bit of jazz, we play all sorts of things. So really that's how I got into it, and this is now its 35th year, the one I'm at the moment, and it's got heaps and heaps of babies and kids and teenagers and 20-somethings, and they're all playing music or dancing and just learning the culture and moving it forward. So it's fantastic.
That is so cool. Awesome. If there was one thing, you're going to hate me for asking this question, but if there was one thing on the schedule, if you only had time yourself to go to what is the one that you're going, I must not miss?
Well, I am a real aficionado of the blues, so I would like to go and see CW Stone King, really.
Brilliant.
It's difficult to choose.
I know.
I'm looking down the lineup, and they're all fabulous. The trouble is I don't get to a lot of it because I'm running around trying to fix stuff and making sure everybody's in the right place at the right time,
yeah.
and doing other stuff as the one of the volunteers that runs it. But I do get to some of them, which is great, and I love all of the music, really. So I'd love to go to all of it.
Fantastic. Well, people can head to aucklandfolkfestival.co.nz yep. for all the details, yep. ticket information. Follow the team on social media as well.
Yep.
We wish you a fabulous festival.
Thank
we'll
you.
Be doing our Sundance for you on the Friday
yes.
to bring out
yes.
the sunshine.
Tickets are on Eventbrite. There's still early birds finished, but the full price is still online under $200 for 2.5 days of the most amazing music and dance and camping on site. So it's fabulous value for money. So get on there, get your tickets, and we'll see you at Toomey Showgrounds.
And if you didn't get those details, they are on the Kick Arts event page on our website as well.
Brilliant.
Thanks
Nigel.
Much.
Take care.
Back to the tunes.
Yeah, absolutely.
Twinkle, twinkle, little star. God, I wonder where you are. Tell me that you're not too far away. We travel the same song on replay. Yeah. I sang loud as we head home in the rain. So do you. We walk in your front door. We dance on the kitchen floor. All hours that night would never end. I don't know how it's been 2 months and you've gone quiet. I'm stuck talking to the moon. Like, twinkle, twinkle. Other side of town.
Oh, no, no.
Tell me, is it where you're hiding now? No.
Oh, oh. Cause we had the best of time. If you ghost, I don't know why.
It's all getting lonely here. Cause I don't know how it's been 2 months and you've gone quiet.
No,
I'm stuck talking to the
with Twinkle Twinkle. Cool sound, eh, Emma?
Yeah, it's quite different.
Yeah, it was a real, real find, and all his music's great. So check him out.
Mm.
How did you see in your New Year's? Was there fireworks? Or?
I heard fireworks outside, and I heard people yell Happy New Year. In fact, it woke me up from my sleep. This was probably the first New Year in about, I don't know how long that. I actually went to bed at 10 o'clock.
Oh, well, I can't say much better. I had decided to have a quiet one myself, but had got a nice glass of bubbles and a few nibbles and was happily watching the Royal Variety Show when my daughter decided that that wasn't going to happen, and out to the town we went to watch the fireworks. So we saw the Sky City fireworks of all 3.5 minutes go off, and that was about it, really, and it was like then back to bed.
Yeah, I suppose your windows face the wrong way to see them from your house.
I look the wrong way, but it's only a few steps out the building to see it, so it was cool. Plans for 2025? Anything special you're looking forward to? I mean, you and I lead a pretty busy, crazy life. Is there something in the calendar this year that you're going, can't wait for that? Because you're about to travel again.
I am. So February, we go back with the Kiwi All-Stars to New York to rehearse and then up to Sacramento for the Junior Theatre Festival West. So that will be really exciting. Come back and hit the ground running. I've got 5 different musicals happening this year. In fact, we've got one in October that's about to be announced that sees our companies working together for the first time.
Yeah, that will be awesome. Your travels, how many are you taking with you?
Good question.
Right.
I think there's about 35 kids. Wow. But all up, I think we take up 2 buses with the parents as well. So, yeah.
Brilliant.
Probably more like 60-ish.
That's cool. That's exciting.
It will be good. And I haven't decided yet. Like, we are seeing The Great Gatsby and we're seeing The Outsiders as a tour group. But I haven't decided what else I'm going to catch while I'm in New York.
Decisions. Are you heading to the UK again this year?
Yes, UK is in May. It's a hard, hard life that I lead. But, I mean, I know everyone goes, wow, you, and I do,
but
live,
it's busy. It's
I live
working.
My life and it's great. But, you know, it's also at times costly. Not everything is covered.
Oh, yeah.
So, you know, this year actually sees a bit more fundraising going on for shows and things, you know.
Nice.
Yeah.
Nice. One of the fabulous guests that we had in the second half of this year, of last year, I should say, was Ra Charmian. Now, I think you were away that week, but beautiful West Auckland singer with her hubby playing guitar. I found a great track of hers called Tell Me Something Good. Thought we'd take a little listen back.
Sean of sex, yourself on fire.
Miss Ra Charmian, Tell Me Something Good. Subscribe to her on YouTube. You can hear all her fabulous music and a nice mix. There's some beautiful Terea songs as well.
Now, Stephen, I was scrolling through Facebook and I saw the headline that Wicked has made Broadway history. The 20-year-old production became the first show to gross over $5 million in a single week, pulling in $5,037,392 during Christmas week, with an average ticket price of $290. Now, I think that's 290 American, which kind of puts it up around that kind of Hamilton mark. But anyway, I don't think I've asked you yet whether you saw Wicked the movie.
I did. I did finally go and see it, treated myself and a friend, and we went to Gold Class, put our feet up and relaxed, thoroughly enjoyed it. Absolutely loved it. She hadn't actually seen Wicked, so it was interesting taking someone who didn't know it, got to the end and said, oh, that was a fabulous movie, but I feel like there's more. I was like, that's only act one. You know, like, there's so many good songs to come in act two. But beautiful little cameos and references to the original sort of Wizard of Oz storyline, and yeah, man, they spent some money on it.
And I've been loving watching all the follow-ups from it, with, you know, all the clips of how they made things and the little choreography. You know, it's taken off on TikTok as well, with little bits of choreo.
Everyone doing it.
So, no, that's really cool. So, you didn't spend your New Year's watching that, but what did you spend your New Year's doing?
No, did go out and watch the fireworks.
Oh, no, that's right. You watched the fireworks.
Sky City. All over in a couple of minutes.
Sorry, that's my bad. I wasn't meant to ask you that. I must be tired. Oh, my goodness, it's past my cake and coffee time. I don't drink coffee, so you know I'm definitely something wrong. But anyway, back to Stephen. Stephen, tell me about your plans for 2025.
Definitely our first week back. 2025, I'm looking forward to it. I'm pulling back a little bit this year because I did too much last year. It was the first year I kind of hit that wall on more than one occasion. So I was like, oh, got to be careful, got to be a bit pickier. So only directing at this stage two big ones this year. So Sister Act coming up with our combined schools, which I'm looking forward to. But heading down to Tauranga for the first time to do Jersey Boys, and really excited to do something in a different venue, different team of people. Just before Christmas, we auditioned for our Frankie Valleys and got a couple of fantastic people lined up. I can't announce them because they're keeping it till the cast announcements. But yeah, really looking forward to something different, and working with a set that's flying in and out and having a bit of budget to play with. It's going to be cool.
Very cool. And of course, it means that a little bit of a change for us here, because normally it's me going away.
I know.
But there will be some Sundays with no Stephen. So I'm getting trained on the board, which I've watched for four years now. I think I'll be fine. But we'll be having some different co-hosts along the journey as well.
Now, if you need me to teach you how to read the intro with giggles, just sing out, I'm your person. Not a problem.
Now, joining us all the way from Australia, and not her first time on Kick Arts. She has been on Kick Arts before, but a few years ago. So it's great to catch up with a past guest and a past student. So, kia ora, Mia. How are you?
Hi, Emma. I'm really good. It's nice to be back.
Fabulous. Now, lots of exciting things have happened that we can catch up on, but we're primarily here to talk about a new platform that you have created. So tell us a little bit about that.
Yes, so whilst I've been in Australia, I've created a platform called Kipper, which is Kiwis and Performing Arts Australia, which is basically about creating a space for those in Australia, those wanting to come to Australia, those just curious about being in Australia in the arts scene, to have somewhere to connect to other people in similar circumstances, because I think that's something I really needed when I was over here. So I was like, I will just make that on behalf of everyone here, and hopefully it sticks, and hopefully it's something people actually want to be a part of.
So for you, tell our listeners what you've been doing for the last couple of years.
So I've been studying my Diploma of Musical Theatre at Brent Street, and I've just finished. And I've been partaking in like community theatre shows in Sydney, and just trying to become more a part of the theatre scene here in Australia in general. So that's kind of my goal being here.
So when you arrived, what was it that you discovered was missing that made you maybe think about setting up this platform?
There were a lot of spaces in Australia for performing artists that I noticed, a lot of like community pages, a lot of support resources for just in general performers, but typically only for Australians that could access them. And I was feeling a little bit dejected and a little bit frustrated that like things that when I moved here, I really struggled to get help from, and I also think as New Zealanders we also struggle to ask for help. Things like even applying for my Medicare, applying for my NHI number, just the process of moving here was also really tricky without the complete support of someone who already knew what was happening. And I was lucky that I had friends that I could speak to, but I kind of realized as I spent my time here, as other New Zealanders joined me over here, that they were now coming to me, and I was like, well, hopefully this would be a lot easier if we just had one place you could go to find all this information, for somewhere you could just put these questions in case you weren't sure, and to ensure that, because as one person, you don't want to ever give someone the wrong information. And I think if you have a group behind you, at least you're getting lots of different sources of information, which I found could be way more beneficial than just one person.
Mm. And I suppose too, if they're coming to study, every single place of study for music, theatre and performance probably has slightly different processes and requirements.
Yes, exactly. Every single school, and this is the most frustrating thing, if you're auditioning or even like already a part of it, is just slightly different. And it was about, for me auditioning this year, it was about finding where I could save time and where I could, for example, use the same videos had I known. And so I created a list privately for myself, and I was like, well, this information would be really beneficial to share to anyone who's looking to audition next year. And even if the process has changed, at least someone has knowledge of what to expect when they're approaching it and can prepare early. And if things are slightly shifted, then there's way less to think about than having already had the information and having to get it together yourself. So yeah, with every uni being slightly different, it was about minimizing my efforts. Also already studying full-time and working and having no spare time, it's very hard to find time to film. I think I almost filmed nearly 6 videos, which isn't a lot, but it would have been more had I not done my research and seen what I could have reused.
Right. Right, yeah, definitely. So you're going off to Brisbane next year?
Yes,
this year. Yeah.
I know, in February. I'm so lucky that I got into my school of choice at Griffith Con, and I'm really excited because I think it's all I've ever wanted for like the past 4 years, as you know, Emma. Obviously really grateful for my time at Brent Street. I don't think I would have been as prepared had I not gone, but every person's journey is different. And I think that's also the highlight of Kipper, is learning how different people got to different spaces, how the professionals got to where they are, how people in the universities got to where they are. And that's also one of my goals, is to ensure that people can speak to people that have the desired path that they want to go on. And maybe also highlighting to people that it's not just a one size fits all. And it's not just a, you know, university doesn't solve your problems. There are other pathways to things as well. And that's my goal, is to make sure that they know that they have access to speak to individuals, but also hopefully to get people to realize that, for example, this was my 3rd time trying for the universities. And so getting people to realize that you might not get in your first try, and it's not a heartbreaking thing, and it's not going to be the end. And you have so much time. Like, you actually do. Like, I think most of the people in my course are 20 or older. We have a few freshies, but most of them are also already in Australia and probably, you know, had the advantage of being in such performing heavy spaces. And that's also the goal, is to hopefully bring back this information to New Zealand and create these performing heavy spaces as well. So,
So I was actually just going to say to you, do you think for our younger listeners and students, do you think it was beneficial having the year between school and going to study?
For me personally, it was absolutely beneficial. I not only learned a lot about myself, but I also learned a lot about my performance style, where I kind of fit in this world, like what I wanted to focus on, and how much, I think for me, it was a really good year on how much I actually wanted to do this, whether this was something that I was ready to commit to, if I was ready to commit to the heartbreak, because realistically, this is a career path that will mold and shape you, and it'll always tell you what you are. And so you have to be really sure of yourself and what you want and what you want to be. And I also think for me, it really highlighted the idea that I don't just want to be a performer on stage. Like I just want to be in the performance space, whether it's supporting people through groups like these or behind the stage or as a creative, or I was even a production assistant for a show. And that was really exciting. And just learning about all these other avenues. Like for me, that year was discovering that my passion not only lies on stage, but around the stage as well.
Awesome. And if you think about your 2 years at Brent Street, what do you think has been your biggest takeaway?
For me, Brent Street was all about becoming a better dancer. And I think it's crazy when you come over here and you see the level of dance that some of the performers here are at. They're just insane, and it's really inspiring. And so my biggest takeaway has been my dance ability, having done ballet 3 times a week and then like jazz technique 2 times a week and tap and every style you can think of. It's been so beneficial to see how much it's improved, and also how much I can enjoy it. Like, it doesn't have to be a scary thing. And seeing how other people like myself have managed to improve also is really welcoming and highlights that I've also improved. So yeah, I think that's my biggest takeaway, but I've also improved in other areas. And I think if I had to have a more meaningful takeaway, it would probably be the resilience that I've built and the trust in myself that I've built, to know that I'm not there for anyone else's perspective. I'm there to train for myself, and that's all I'm there to do, and that's what I should be focusing on.
And that's huge. I mean, to be able to kind of step out of what the people around you are doing and comparing yourself and all those things makes a huge difference.
100%. And for example, like Brent Street is, a lot of people come into it straight after high school. And so some people really, really struggle with the image and things. And I think my gap year was really beneficial, that I had spent this time outside of the school environment. And so didn't feel the need to compare and didn't feel the need to feel threatened or hurt by someone else's success. And that all just happened in the industry. Like, that's just what it is. You're constantly, your friends will book a role and you won't. And ultimately you can't belittle your own feelings, but you also should be able to celebrate your friend's success in that same vein. So learning things like that as well, things that you don't necessarily ever get told, but things that will come upon you and you will learn quickly. And I still have so much to learn as well. So,
well, and you're going into another 3 years of it. So exciting. Yeah. So hopefully we'll catch up with you in another 3 years' time, and you can tell us all about the new thing you're doing and how Griffiths went. But in the meantime, tell us, let's go back to the business end. Tell us about how people can find out more about Kippa.
Kippa is a Facebook group. And so if you search up Kippa, K-I-P-A-A, or Kiwis and Performing Arts, Oz, hopefully it should show up. Otherwise, you're welcome to contact me. My social handles are typically just Gianni.mia or Gianni Mia. If you search me up and contact me, and I will find a way to get you in there. We want everyone who's interested and everyone who's thinking about it. And if you just have that little butterfly in your stomach that says, maybe this is something I want to do, just come and join the Facebook group. You don't have to do it, but, you know, come see what it's all about.
Fabulous. Well, you have a good year, and we'll catch up with you at some time. And thank you so much for giving us your time.
Thank you, Emma. Thank you, Kika.
Sweet potato.
Title of that song, Betty Shen, and that was part of Play It Strange, the National Year 9 to 11 School Songwriting Competition for 2024, sponsored by Youthtown. Really cool. Thanks for suggesting that tonight, Emma.
Yeah, no, it's really good to hear some of the results of these competitions and to realise too that for many, this is the kickstart for them, isn't it? Just like Smoke Free is.
Yeah. Now, next week, we've got a whole show dedicated to Shakespeare.
We do, Mr. Shakespeare in the Park 2025, brought to us by Shoreside Theatre at the Pump House. So it'll be great to catch up with all of them.
And two shows, so Richard III and Taming of the Shrew.
Yes.
This is a good tongue twister for the end of the day.
Definitely, no, and it will definitely be something for people to plan while the weather is good.
Yeah. So a reminder, if you've got something coming up, flick us an email, info@kickarts.org.nz. Anywhere in the country, we're live radio in Auckland, but our podcasts can be downloaded nationally. So get in touch with us. We've got spaces before our busy festival season hits us, as Emma mentioned earlier. Now, are you still in wind down this week, or are you like me with the alarm set for 6 a.m. tomorrow?
No, I'm lucky because I don't have like set times like that. But obviously, I'm doing lots of planning for the year. I am teaching a few students over the next couple of weeks who are auditioning for things and want to have a couple of lessons before that happens.
That's a good idea.
So I've got a couple of lessons there, but I'm actually doing my big house spring makeover room by room by room.
Ooh.
So I'm probably 60% through my office, about 80% through the dining room, just need to get a few more things. I'm going to be one of those people going off to Kmart buying all the organisation containers and just to tidy things up. I've got lots of shelves and cupboards and things that just look cluttered.
You must be like me. After every show, half of it ends up back in your lounge because you just quickly pack out really fast because you don't want to pay a hire for the next day. Get everything home, you just dump it so it's out of your car, and then months later you're like, oh, what show was that from?
Yeah, well, I had something like 10 bags, that like shopping bags, and when I went through them I was like, oh my goodness, that's from a show 2 years ago that's got some programs in the bottom and a couple of receipts. Or, oh my goodness, my son couldn't believe how many boxes of chocolates I had that were expired.
Oh, no.
That I found in bottoms of bags.
Devastated.
He was. And he was like, oh, Dad will eat them.
It's the lost property too, after showing you that guilty feeling of, oh, I better keep it in case someone asks. And then suddenly you've got bags of those.
Well, and now it's metal drink bottles.
Yes.
Like all the aluminium drink bottles, which I feel bad throwing away, but nobody's asked.
Yeah.
Do they actually even realise? Like, I suppose, how much does it cost to buy an aluminium? If it's not a Frank Green, I'm not talking about $60 ones. I'm talking about the ones that you can buy, like the Sistema ones that are like $15.
Love it. All right, well, you have a fabulous week. Next week we're going to focus on Shakespeare. We weren't here technically on New Year's Day to play my very important traditional annual song this year.
It's, oh, what have you done?
This year it's sung by Pentatonix. It's Auld Lang Syne to start.
Fair enough.
Have a great week and make sure you
kick some arts.
brush your teeth and don't forget to go to sleep. We'll be going live same time under the stars saying blah, blah, blah.